Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
That piece, I hope you were able to hear it, meant so much to me, and I haven't experienced it. I know people who died of COVID, but I wasn't there with them. I wouldn't have been a close relative. Your mother, 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think it was 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, about 3 days before she died.
And when was she taken into hospital, Mary?
She was living in a home. Mm-hmm.
And those last few days, how the trauma is there in Jennifer's piece. And was she taken from the home to a hospital?
No.
Okay.
No, they didn't move anybody from that particular place.
Okay. And she died, well, you last saw her on April the 16th. And when did she die?
She died early in the morning on Sunday the 19th.
And when was she buried?
That evening, yeah.
So she died, what, at 5 in the morning?
Yeah, 5 past 5. And she was buried at 5:30.
That evening?
Yeah. Yeah.
And were many of her family allowed visit? Obviously under strict conditions.
No, just one member. Just me.
Just you.
Yeah.
And in the setting your mother was in, had other people contracted COVID-19?
Yes, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how many people had it, but quite a few people died just those few days or those weeks.
Did they?
Yeah.
And how would you describe it now, Mary, looking back on it?
Well, it's hard to look back because it feels like we're still in it, but it's just a nightmare. Yeah.
Now you were, and it's happened in England, not across the UK, but it's happened in England where the health secretary has reverses the ban on visits to care homes, as they call them, nursing homes, we would know them as here primarily. You think that the visiting restrictions, which are so strict here, should be diluted, to say the least?
I mean, I don't want to, you know, interfere with medical opinion, but I just don't think we're visitors. We're family. You know, I think calling us visitors makes us sound like people who are passing the time, you know. We're family members. We're a link to that person in the bed with their lives.
And when you did go in, and as you say, it was 3 days before your mum passed away. When you did go in for that 10, 15 minutes, what were the conditions in which you were allowed in?
Oh, I had to wear full PPE. Yeah. And everybody was very good, you know. I was brought in and shown how to put on the PPE. Okay. And then I was allowed in. And I was allowed to stand at the end of her bed.
And was your mother aware that you were there, Mary?
She was in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And were you able to talk to her? Obviously, there's communication anyway through silence and you being there and the love of a daughter and a mother. But was there any verbal communication possible?
I told her I was there, and I told her I just met one of her friends, and she kind of acknowledged that, but then she kind of went away again. And I was very aware that I didn't want to panic her. So I was just chatting about the kids and I didn't say goodbye or.
Um, It's also a burden on you being the only, obviously the family agreed that you would be.
My dad was too, yeah. We were too afraid for him to go somewhere where there was COVID. So I'm kind of the eldest girl. So
yeah.
I was sent in, well, not sent in, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
that then becomes, it's in one sense, I know it's a gift and a privilege. In these awful situations, but in another sense, if you're the one that has to explain everything to all the family and how Mammy was and how did she look and how did she say and what was in the room and was there a television on or anyway, and was there any way you could have been allowed in as she was passing?
I think, in fairness, I think if there was a bit more time. The nurse called my sister that morning, and I think if any of us were within 10 minutes of the hospital, maybe, but we weren't. We were all too far away.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't, you know, they did their best. It was just a surreal time. But my sister spoke with the nurse who was with her.
Okay.
And like that other nurse, she was amazing. So.
Yeah. Say what it's Mary, because this issue has also been raised by Marie Fitzpatrick. It's Mary, I think. Mary, good afternoon.
Actually, Joe, it's Marie.
Oh, Marie, good stuff. Okay, Marie. Your husband,
good afternoon.
Your husband is in a, how are you? And he's in a Waterford nursing home.
That's right, yes.
As we say, the visits are gone unless the geography and the layout and the landscape of a nursing home can allow visits through a window, or window visits. It's another new word in our 2020 vocabulary, window visits. Imagine saying that this time last year. What's do you have a window visit? People thought you'd gone mad. But you have, Mary, an incredible idea about what you want to do.
Yeah, I just want to say that I feel very sorry for that lady, and I can understand exactly how she feels. And that poem that nurse wrote was just so touching. I actually had to move the phone away from my ear because I was afraid I'd start crying. My husband is in a nursing home. He has advanced dementia, and we are allowed window visits, but they're not suitable for somebody that can't communicate, and his comprehension is very limited. And in the beginning, he used to hold out his arms trying to touch me through the window. But since this second lockdown now, he's gone very much into himself. And would you believe, I'm actually envious of the staff as they are with him, and I'm locked out looking in. Mm. I mean, it's unthinkable of, you know, what's happening. I have an idea, that's why I wrote to you, but I haven't heard anything, any other ideas. And I just proposed one visitor. Now, I know that other lady said one visitor is very tough, but I kind of feel it's better than nothing. A one visitor for a resident to be treated as an essential carer and given a risk assessment, a COVID test and PPE equipment. So at least the resident has somebody. I mean, the staff are very good and they're very kind and they're looked after very well.
Okay.
They don't have the time to sit with them and give them individual attention, stimulation, love that they need. And they're all in there. My husband is not going to come out again. He's, as I say, advanced dementia. You could actually say he's dying. Physically, he's good, but mentally, he's not. So it's a very sad situation. And that was the proposal I'd like to put forward.
And your proposal, Marie, is that you would be there almost all the time in the room with him?
No, I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't expect that. But just visits a few times a week so that they have somebody with them. Like all I want to do is actually hold my husband's hand, because you can't have a conversation with him. And he's an old-fashioned gentleman. He used to always hold my hand and he'd kiss the back of my hand, you know, to show me that he loved me.
Yeah.
You know, that we can't touch. We can't be near each other. As I say, the verbal communication is not great. I sing to him, although I can't sing. So he can hear my voice and trying to keep the connection with him as long as I possibly can before it's gone. And he'll be gone mentally before he's gone physically, I think, you know?
So, Marie, you're saying that if one person was designated as the essential visitor, so to speak. And even I take Mary's point about even the word visitor, but essential companion to the that one person would be told how to do PPE, would be given instructions on where you can go and you can't go in the and would get used to the fact that this is their job, so to speak.
Treated as an essential carer, an essential part of the resident's care, their well-being and their mental care.
But that you wouldn't go anywhere else in the facility. Yeah, now I know the problem with COVID is you can go without people going. But and have you, insofar as you can, have you noticed a difference with him since he went in and the absence of visitors?
Well, he's in now. He's in 3 years this month, so obviously there is a decline.
Yeah.
But with the first lockdown in March, I know that was kind of a knee-jerk reaction. It has to be done. This whole thing was, kind of hit everybody very hard. But I kind of feel 8 months on, and there's absolutely no solution. There's a second lockdown now. Let's not be naive. I think there's going to be another lockdown. We don't know how long this virus is going to last. And I think a solution has to be put forward to help the residents, help family members somehow or other. And since this second lockdown, he's gone totally into himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he stares up at the ceiling, even though I'm knocking at the window. My knuckles are raw from banging at the window, trying to get his attention. And there's just nothing.
Also conscious that the weather has changed dramatically in the last 3 weeks. Much colder, much wetter. We're now well into winter.
Yes, exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's not going to get easier.
And Marie, when you say you sing to him through the window, he can't hear you, can he?
Well, the window's open a tiny bit, but I try to keep it as close as I can. But I'm shouting. I'm shouting into him. And I'm banging the window with my fist to try and get his attention. Well, not my fist, my knuckles.
Yeah, yeah. And what, you sing songs from back in the day or whatever when the...
I can't sing.
I know.
I feel sorry for anybody that's listening to me.
Don't worry one bit.
Just so he has... I'm just trying to keep the connection going with him as long as I possibly can. I don't want to lose that connection. It'll be gone soon enough, and I want to keep it with me as long as I possibly can.
Okay. Have you raised this idea with anybody?
I did. I sent it to a few TDs. One particular TD got back. She rang me, and there was a response from another TD secretary. But I've only kind of sent it out, the email out, on Monday or Tuesday. So, I don't know whether it's been proposed before or what, but I just thought I'd put it out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully somebody might take it on board.
Okay. But I take your point that there should almost be a designated companion that would be sat down beforehand, go through all the, and including a COVID test.
And the risk assessment. You know, it wouldn't be suitable for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Okay. Marie, I hope everything can work out as best I can. Mary, as you say, the when I asked you to reflect back on that moment still lives with you. That's the point. And grief is around for a long, 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 long time. So may your mother rest in peace, Mary. And thank you so much for contacting us and making those points, because they dovetailed with what Marie is saying, and they dovetailed with the contribution from the ICU nurse, Jennifer, who contacted us with that piece she wrote. Joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.